الأعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن من سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. I had the opportunity to visit the shrines of our imams in Iraq last week. And so the situation which is going on basically is in my mind, and that will be the topic for my first khutbah here, that Iraq is the land of our imams. Six of our imams are buried in that land. But it is a land which is going through turmoil at the moment. And it's not only Iraq. You know, it's interesting to see that three capitals in that region where the Shias are relatively in power, Beirut, Baghdad, and Tehran, has seen protest by the people. And so this cannot be just a coincidence. There must be some other factors, you know, behind it. However, we cannot attribute everything to foreign instigation. We'll have to accept the problem of corruption, unemployment, and lack of efficient and regular services. This is a reality which cannot be denied. Look at the case of Iraq. Saddam is gone 15 years now. People basically are looking for improvement, for reformation, especially when you talk, when you look at the southern part of Iraq, which is the Shia area, which has been deprived from day one, from the time British came in with their mandate after the first war, because the Shia ulama at that time decided to oppose the British rule. Interestingly, in the entire Arab world at that time, after the first war, the only Arab country which actually opposed occupation of British in their land were the Shias of Iraq, led by the ulama there. It is known as Thawrat al-Ashreen, you know, the revolution of the 1920. And because of that, you know, British basically put them down militarily, and they were deprived of the, you know, privileges. More focus was in using these resources and infrastructure in Baghdad and north. So Shias were punished by the British. Then so-called, you know, kingdom came in, imposed by the British, and then it became a revolution and republic came in. But in all situations, the South was deprived. And so when you see this eruption, you know, this is a natural reaction, because they're saying, okay, Saddam is gone. We have a Shia majority, you know, government in power. Why even the basic, you know, services are not yet there? And this is where we had to realize that it reached to a point where the Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Sistani, who really is the moral voice of the Iraqi people, he doesn't have any official position in the constitution or the government, but he again, just previously in many situations he would get up and get involved, again he made a stand. And it's very interesting that he did not ask the people to stop protesting. He never ever told them, go home. His demand was that if you want to protest, let your rallies and protests be peaceful. You know, you had to be very peaceful. Don't destroy things, public or private property. Do not harm people. You can peacefully go and, you know, express your anger against what's going on. And after this 2 months of the protest which has been going on, Ayatollah Sistani's message was read on the Friday khutbah of last Friday in Karbala by his representative, Sayyid Ahmed al-Safi, where he actually read the text issued by the office of al-Sistani, addressing, number one, the law enforcement and the police and the government, that it is forbidden to attack the peaceful protesters or prevent them from exercising their right in demanding reforms. Then he addresses the people, where he says, similarly, the sanctity of public and private property must be respected. You can have your protest, but do not destroy things, whether it belongs to the government or to the private, and do not give any room to those who are known as agent provocateurs, and that the protesters should separate such individuals from their peaceful rallies and collectively dispel the troublemakers from hijacking their peaceful protests. Then he addresses, this is last Friday, the parliament, and he says, by looking at the difficult circumstances that the country is going through and the inability of the government in handling the situation of the last 2 months as far as protection of the rights and lives is concerned, the parliament is asked to review its selection in this matter, which was a subtle, message that the government has to change. And towards the end, he basically emphasizes the point that the institution of religious marja'iyyat, this position of a marja' taqleed and a mujtahid, will remain a backbone for the noble people of Iraq, and its role is just to advise and guide what it deems to be in the interest of the people. It is the people themselves who will have to choose what is the best for their present and the future. And as soon as this message was read out in that Friday khutbah, the Prime Minister handed his resignation to his cabinet, and the parliament is now in the process of, forming a new government. And this is where, our hearts are with the people of Iraq. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep the people of Iraq, irrespective of their, religion or their sectarian beliefs, in the shadow of his mercy and protection, and may he prevent those who are trying to derail the peace and tranquility of that region. Our prayers especially are for the shrines of our imams and our great scholars in Najaf and Karbala and other places, especially when you look at our marja, Ayatollah Sistani, in that land. Even in today's Friday khutbah, he gave out another message, which was read out by Sheikh Abdul Mahdi Karbalai, the custodian of the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, where he re-emphasized this point, especially asking the parliament not to delay this process and act within the time frame given in the constitution. This is something very important. In every situation that we see, Ayatollah Sistani always emphasizes, follow the constitution, go according to the law, and do not go against it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a long and happy life, inshallah. He is, health-wise, there's no issue, but he is now, from what I saw him after about 6-7 months, old age is having an impact, he's becoming weak, but still alert. And when you sit down and talk to him, he is up to date about the situation which in the region, in the brief meeting that I had with him. In just today's khutbah in Karbala, I just would like to show you just a few seconds of the clip from there. Come on. Okay. Can you hear the voice there? Anyway. In Ahsan al-Hadith, Kitab Allah al-Aziz, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal-Asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa al-ladhina amanu wa amilu al-salihat, وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم، غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة، وهو الغفور الرحيم. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف للعباد بجوده، والعواد على المظلمين بحلمه. ونشهد أن محمدًا نبيه وحبيبه. سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين، صلى الله عليه وآله، الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة، قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة. أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. When we talk about the issue of corruption in the governments in the Middle East, for example, and many, many other countries in the East, we realize it's not just a Eastern problem, this is a global problem. Many, many governments in the East, West, North, South, you know, they are in this problem of corruption. The difference is that in the West, it is very subtle, and it does not directly impact on the ordinary citizens. Whereas in the East, it is done very, very obviously, and has a direct impact on the men on the street. If you even look at the one of the reasons why the liberal government lost its previous majority status in the last election was because of the scandal of SNC Lavalin affair involving political interference with the justice system here by the Prime Minister and his office. So things are there, but here it happens at a very different, you know, level. The politicians of Iraq, you know, sometimes I'm surprised. You live in Iraq, which is the land of the imams. You have the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen in Najaf. And still, you know, it seems some people, even though they might be Shias, doesn't mean they are masoom. You know, they don't learn the lesson from the seerah of Amir al-Mu'mineen. If you look at Nahj al-Balagha and in the life of Ali, and ask him, what is the role of a government? What is the mandate of a government? Or what is the worth and value of a government? It's very interesting that there are three different statements that I've gathered in different situations, where Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, you know, the purpose of a government is to establish just rule, adl. And if you cannot implement just rule, then you are not doing what you're supposed to do. And what happens to a government which is not able to deliver just rule? Ali uses some examples, you know, sometimes for us it might be very, you know, unusual, but he's talking to the people of the region who are very well aware of their own culture. And so, for example, in Khutbah Sheikh Shiqiyya, this is a very famous khutbah, the third sermon in Nahj al-Balagha. This is when he is now, by the appeal of the public, he accepts the Khilafat and becomes the Khalifa. But he says there that there are two reasons why I accepted it, because I don't have an interest in becoming a ruler as such. And at the end he says, you know, if it was not for these two reasons, and one of those two reasons was the issue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive those who have the ability to change the situation and don't get involved. He says, that's one of the reasons he describes. At the end he says, otherwise, this government of yours, ruling over you, is nothing. It doesn't have no value in my mind, in my views. He says, this is azhadu indi min aftati anzin. This is actually lower than the sneeze of a goat. I don't think you heard the goat sneezing. But I made a moment and said that sneezing of the goat, a government which cannot deliver justice, is less in value than the sneeze of a goat. You know, another example is where he was going towards Basra, and a caravan of Hujjaj was passing by. They were told this is Ali's army camped on their way. They diverted. They said, we want to see Ali. And Ali was sitting in his tent. Abdullah ibn Abbas, his cousin and a very friend, close, you know, supporter and a friend, came in. He says, you know, these people are waiting for you. And Ali said, wait, I'm busy. What was he doing? One of the straps of his sandal had broken, and he himself was stitching it. And so Abdullah bin Abbas, you know, waited for a while, and they said, Ali, this is not important. You know, there are people waiting to see you. That is more important. He was close. He could say these things to Ali. Amir al-Mu'minin still was silent until he finished what he was doing. Then he says to Abdullah, he says, you know, qayyimah, give me a value for this. What is the worth of this sandal, the pair of sandals? And he says, nothing. He says, come on, give me something. He says, maybe a half of a dirham. And this is where Amir al-Mu'minin says that in my views, to be a ruler over these people, you know, has no value more than this sandal unless I am able to implement what is haq and avert what is batil. So this, another... So a government which cannot deliver justice in the eyes of Ali is not worth more than a patched up pair of sandals. Another example in Kufa. One of the prominent members of the Kufa had a case with the judge. And one day in the evening, when it is already dark, he comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen with a container of honey. And he came to Amir al-Mu'mineen, gave it to him, and Amir al-Mu'mineen says, what is this? Am zakat or sadaqa? Is this zakat or sadaqa? It's haram for me. We are from the Ahlul Bayt. The descendants of the Prophet, for them it's haram to accept zakat or sadaqa. He says, no, this is not zakat or sadaqah, this is hadiyya. And Imam said, it seems you are confused. Because Ali knew he had a case with the judge. And Ali didn't take it lightly. You know, he says, you know, it seems there is a problem with you, or the jinn has possessed you, because you are coming with this to me, trying to influence the judgment in your favor. And then Ali made a statement there. He says, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أُعْتِيتُ الْأَقَالِيمَ السَّبْعَ بِمَا تَحْتَ أَفْلَاكِهَا, that by Allah, if I am given the control of the seven heavens, whatever with whatever is underneath it, with a condition, أَنْ أَعْصِ اللَّهَ فِي نَمْلَةٍ أَسْلَبُ جَلْبَ شَعِيرَةٍ مَا فَعَلْتُ. He says, if I am given the control and the kingdom of the seven heavens with whatever is underneath it, with one condition, that I should go and pull the leaf which is in the mouth of a locust, or, you know, the seed or the food. You know, we would say, well, you know, I can take it once and maybe give it 10 more later on. But Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, is a man of principle. He says, I will not do it. وَاللَّهَ إِنَّ الدُّنْيَاكُمْ عِنْدِي لَأَحْوَنُ. Your world and this status of having, being a ruler and government, you know, this is lesser to me in my views than the leaf in the mouth of a locust, unless I implement justice. So this is where we do realize, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and you know, when we talk about this concept of justice and having a good government, you know, even the United Nations, more than more than 10 years ago, when they came up with a report about the Middle Eastern countries, one of the things they mentioned is that you don't need to look at the models of the Western governments. They said, why don't you go into your own history and look at the example of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the eyes and the hearts of those who are in power in that land so that they can understand the seerah and follow the example of Amir al-Mu'mineen, inshaAllah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen wa Shafi al-Mudhunibin Nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Wa ala Imam al-Muttaqeen wa Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah alayhi. وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان محيا صار البدء والتغيان هادم أمنية الشرك والنفاق حاصر فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.